Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right, guys, here we are back again, man. War of the Words. Pat Renegade Radio number 8, Conflict 26, headliner DeMarcus Holmes joining us today, man, as well as my beautiful and luxurious, as always, co-host, Mr. Kobe Wall. Kobe, what's good today, man?
What's good, brother? Just a rainy Thursday here in South GA. What it do?
What it do, man? Speaking of South GA, man, we're talking about Conflict 26 today. They're returning to Macon April 4th with another round of that Newtown beatdown. It's studded with a bunch of local favorites from the scene. We got some Conflict stables, pro fights, title bouts. You know, you and I did a first look at this on Sunday. Conflict looking to redefine Macon as one of those new Georgia MMA hot spots. And part of how they're going to do that is with this awesome headliner fight, Brandon Riles, DeMarcus Holmes. Holmes, we got on the show today. Who's also, not only is he in the main event, but also going to be a hometown fight from Macon, man. I'm pretty excited. I'm definitely pretty excited about this one, man. You ready to get back to Macon, Kobe?
Yeah, I'll be in the commentary booth, as you probably know by now. I'll be at the commentary booth with you. So I'm ready to take some commentary off. There's going to be some very good fights. I'm super excited to see a few of the pros. As well as Mr. Holmes, he is just turning pro. I know him fairly well. Seen some of his fights. He had a pretty good amateur record. So just excited to see another brother step out and take that pro leap, which I will be doing very, very, very soon. So I'm just excited, man. You know, like always, ready to do the damn thing.
That's it, man. And the damn thing in which we shall do, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to welcome onto the show DeMarcus Holmes. DeMarcus, what's up, man? How are you today?
I'm doing all right, yourself?
I am doing good, man. Now, it's my understanding you got a little bit of a car ride you're on today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Headed to Tennessee right now. We're actually in Tennessee. We actually turned around. My mom was trying to find us, get us back on the right path. We had my mom's auntie passed away. We're going down here for a funeral. I'll be back home shortly after we get
it. You always got to take those timeouts for those blessings. And, you know, speaking of travel, Conflict coming back around to Macon, man. First, big question. I know I got a lot of mail about this question all over Facebook, so I'm going to ask this one right off the bat because I think this is one of the questions that people are most interested in. What is it like to have a pro debut, be the headliner on an event, the main event, and do this in your hometown all at the same time? What's that experience like?
I mean, it's pretty exciting. I'm excited to do it, but I'm trying not to worry about all the other stuff. The most important part is to get the job done. And, you know, all that stuff is just a necessity.
Absolutely,
you know,
man.
I get to have. I'm more excited about getting there, getting my pro fight done and over with. My debut.
I like that, man. I like that. You got the future right here in your face in the here and now, and I like that, man. And of course, that's not to say you're looking past anybody at all. I'd like to ask. You know, you've got Riles as your first opponent stepping out of the gate in this new venture. What do you think about your opponent coming up here on the floor?
I think it's a great. I think he's a great guy. You know, he's I think he's 1-2 as a professional MMA fighter. He was 7-4 as an amateur, and He's also a professional boxer, so I think it'd be a good test for me. I'm not looking past. I don't think it's going to be a runaway, but I think it's going to be a good fight. We're going to put on a good show for the people.
So absolutely. If there's one thing that conflict does know, it's killer main events. And Kobe, I'm sure you can back me up on this, man. I don't think we've in the 12 shows or so I've done and commentated, I don't think we've seen a terrible main event yet.
No, to be honest with you, I don't really remember a whole lot of terrible fights. When it comes to the numbers, 9 out of 9 times. These fights are matched very accurately, but then, some guys just don't show up sometimes. But that's their own fault. We saw, in my personal opinion, we saw a little bit of that this past weekend at Club Label. But, I think this main event is going to be matched well. Both guys are coming. I know DeMarcus is hungry. He's coming off, I think, a 4 or 5 fight win streak. So, I'm right there with him. I'm ready to see it.
That's a fair point to make, and I could be mistaken on this, but DeMarcus, you fill us in a little bit of this. Your amateur record for this pro switch, it was 6-2.
I was 7-2.
There you go. Boom. And interestingly enough, anybody who wants to go and check this out, I believe you are. You are like the Combat Knight flyweight champ and have defended this belt multiple times. I think at least four or five times, something like that. Is this correct, too?
Yes, sir. I was the Combat Knight flyweight and strawweight, so I defended my strawweight and my flyweight a couple of times.
Wow. How about that? That's something awesome. And, I think Kobe can chime in on this a little bit. The 125 division in the Southeast is a very highlighted weight class, I think. I think some of the most successful people or guys that they call on fire are right there in that 125, 135 bracket, especially around this area, man. You can back me up on that, Kobe.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the low weight classes in the South and Southeast are stacked. Everywhere from 25 to 55, all those weight classes are stacked. We've got David Devant, Tambo, Eddie Williams, Eddie Miller, Johnny Williams. Those are all guys in that 125, 135, 145, and 155 bracket that are killers. And they all live, anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half distance-wise apart. So I will have to agree highly that those low-weight class brackets are stout, stout, stout.
Absolutely. And that makes I think that also shines a bigger light on your success, that potential, and also the respect that comes with fighting in those weight classes. And I would extend a little bit on what Kobe said, that is true from 125 to about 155. I can't even remember the last time I looked at a piece of paper with guys in those weight classes. And wasn't like, man, if you're fighting these weight classes, especially if you're fighting with conflict on top of that, then you already know that there are zero easy fights here. It's just how it goes, man. These weight classes, especially, in that bracket, like you spoke of. I want to push the conversation a little bit to your fighting style. Could you describe to us a little bit? And then I got a follow up question. What you consider your fight style to be or to be like?
Mine?
Yes, sir.
I would say my fighting style is well-rounded. I consider myself a martial artist. I'm not perfect or great at one aspect, but I'm good at putting it all together.
One thing that by looking at your record I can see is that, obviously anybody who's seen you fight, such as Kobe, can definitely support me on this thought. You have a fair amount of decision wins, which speaks to me and to anybody who has never seen you fight that cardio is not a question, that battling out to the end is not a question, that the heart of DeMarcus Holmes is not a question. And I guess my question on that is, what pushes you? You know, what keeps you going? You know, we've seen, as Kobe mentioned, we've seen guys, you know, not show up, and sometimes that not showing up is not being ready to go from bell to bell. So describe us a little bit about what keeps you motivated, what keeps you pushing, especially when the chips are down.
I feel like my family is what keeps me motivated. I have two little girls. I have a five-year-old and a two-year-old, and I feel like, you know, I want to be able to give them the chance to have a better life than I had. I'm not saying I had a bad life, but I just want them to be better off than where I was.
Very well said. You've got an awesome amateur record. I actually want to ask Kobe a question. Do you guys share a similarity in having a pretty healthy amount of amateur fights? I'm actually going to direct this at Kobe first. This is a little insight. How do you feel about the concept of having a good amount, Kobe, of amateur fights versus somebody who has three or four and goes pro?
Now, this is just my personal opinion. I think differently about a lot of things than most people. I think, personally, that you should take absolutely as many amateur fights as you can. The reason I say that is when you turn pro, you have started at the bottom of the hill. And your goal is to get to the top of the hill or the top of the mountain. And the top of that mountain is that UFC belt. Now, on your way to the top of the mountain, you got to go through some shit, but the last thing you want is to be learning how to be a complete fighter, learning how to cut weight the right way, learning all these different aspects of this fight game. That's the wrong place and the wrong time to be learning as you're a pro. And guys that's only had three and four fights and go pro, there's a lot of shit that you still got to learn. And I'm not talking about anybody specifically, but I've had 13 fights, and I still learned something every fight. I learned something a little different about my body, about the way the fight's going to happen. I learned something different every single time. And the more amateur fights you have, the less you got to learn as a pro. When you turn pro, you want to be murking, like straight murking people all the way to the top. You don't need to be learning as you go.
All right. Sounds like we're on the right track now back there. I hear it. DeMarcus.
Yes.
Speaking about being on the right track, man, I would like to ask your opinion on the very same topic about having a healthy amount of amateur fights and what that means in your opinion heading into being pro.
I would agree with Kobe. I feel like that you should have a good set amount of fights and be on the right track. Also, this fight game, it's not all about being good. You also have a good mindset. And so if your mindset is not in the right spot, trying to make that step to going pro is not going to be good for you. You know, you have to have the confidence, and you have to have the good feeling. You have to know where you are, know where your strong points are, know where your weaknesses is. So, you know, you'd be able to perform to the best of your ability.
I couldn't agree more, man. I think one of the biggest and most painful mistakes that I see out there in MMA, and I unfortunately see this a decent amount, is guys who go pro to escape their amateur record, and I have never understood that ever. It doesn't make a lot of sense. We see a lot of these guys are like, oh, you know, I'm 3-5, and I want to get rid of that record and start fresh. And you know, in the state where I live in, you know, the laws won't even let you do that. So we literally have guys who don't meet the, I guess, required, I believe here at 75% ratio record, and they'll go to another state, being, like I said, 3-5, 3-7, something like that, and have a pro debut. And then, as we see many, many, many times, I've personally seen this back when I used to manage fighters, saw this happen several times. Then all of a sudden they go 1-3, 1-5 again, 2-6, something crazy. And suddenly they realize there's no coming back. You can't, you know, you go from amateur to pro and you start over. But when you're pro, there's no super pro. There's no like platinum plan pro that you can join that will like reset you again. And I think a lot of guys don't think that through. And then they actually look at people. And, you know, of course, everybody's different. We have some guys, you know, you can't just look at a person who's an amateur and say they got four fights, they must suck or something, because some guys have a lifetime of you know, martial arts experience, and you can't always see that in a record. But 90% of the time, I would say that, you know, these guys who make this jump are really running away from something. And I find that to be an interesting paradox in the realm of martial arts, of how you could simultaneously, you know, be running away from it while at the same time wanting to take the whole world head on and be the best.
Indeed.
Indeed, sir.
Man, trying to help navigate.
Yeah, you're like, listen, man, I got you. This
there for a minute. hold on. Hope she can really switch it. Tell her. We're on here.
All right, are we good?
Yes, we're good.
All right, hey, trust me, I don't want nobody to get lost on account of me. So we are all gravy. man, this Conflict 26 card, I know I'm personally excited to go back to Macon. Kobe was with me there, you know, last time, as are a lot of people that were on this card. And there was so much potential for that Macon event, both the venue, that the card itself, the card was an awesome card. So much potential there in Macon that I really feel like this time around it's going to be an absolute blowout. And I want to start with Kobe, and then I'll jump over to Holmes. Kobe, when you think about the Macon scene and what you saw last time when you were there, and you look at this new card, and you, as a part of Conflict, know where Conflict is going, what do you think about this return to Macon and what this is going to do for Georgia Mixed Martial Arts?
You know, last year, Conflict won promotion of the year for 2014. So taking a deeper foothold in Georgia, I think, is a great idea. We've got two shows coming up very soon in Georgia, Macon and then Hardeeville. So I think it's a good idea. I think that a lot of the guys, I know some guys out of Rush, which is Bubby Mitchell's gym, a lot of those guys are fighting, and I can really see those guys bringing a lot more people to the show. And packing those seats out and it being a really good venue. The venue is awesome. It's laid out, honestly, it's laid out perfect for an MMA fight with the two floors. I mean, it's ideal to have an MMA fight for viewing. So I really think that the show is gonna sell a lot more. There's going to be more asses in the seats, which we definitely need as fighters and as a promotion. So I think it's a good idea. I think Jared's doing the right thing. Andrew's doing the right thing going back to Macon. And I think they'll see a definite increase in behinds and chairs.
That's it. And to rephrase for DeMarcus, you know, being an actual part of Macon and being a part of MMA, what's been your perspective from actually being a part of that direct community with Conflict coming in, their first show, and this upcoming second one? Is Macon excited? I mean, was there a good impression? Are people ready for more Conflict there?
Oh, yes, definitely. I would say that this time it's going to be a lot more asses in the seats, as Kobe said. I don't know if you guys – I think you did last time, but if you ain't heard our chant before, we get a good crowd, and I'm that family-oriented. They are pulling a lot more this time. You know, with it being the first time, last time I think was a little, you know, people were less hesitant, but with it being the second time and people, you know, spreading the word and saying how good the event was, it's going to be 10 times much better. And, you know, I work at the Air Force Base, so I have a lot of coworkers I work with, you know, that's coming, so it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be turning it up, which was great, because that was the one thing that I felt personally, and this just speaking on, you know, from my own mind, that was the one thing that I think our first venture there was lacking, was just a big enough group to receive the awesome action that was happening, man. And I think once again, Conflict 26 is going to bring that heat. Being someone who actually lived in Macon myself before, man, I feel like the place is, you know, just prime for it, man. I mean, when I was there, if there was a MMA organization coming around, I would be super, super excited. I'm not hating on Macon, but I didn't have a whole lot of other stuff to do. So it'd be super awesome. Macon was a fun town, man, and met her. Got to admit that. DeMarcus, again, you know, I brought up that you're, you know, main event, headlining, hometown. Obviously, you know, you're relishing on that, what some people would call pressure. But what I perceive, and obviously you do as well, is an amazing opportunity. And I think I can point this out very fast just as a question to Kobe, if I may here. We're in our last 9 minutes of the show. Kobe, just really fast, in your 13, 14, 72 Emmy fights, I stopped trying to keep damn track, and in all your title, in all your fights, man, how many times have you fought in front of the hometown crowd? Legitly.
Legitly hometown crowd, one time. It was one time we had a fight in here in Statesboro, which is where I live. And this is, like, I mean, in the same town. And it was kind of nerve-wracking, but I had just come off my first loss and only loss to date. So it was kind of like I had something to prove. So it was kind of nerve-wracking, but it was kind of like, you know, I just got beat 2 weeks before this. I was coming for blood. But I fought in Savannah and Hardyville, or supposed to fight in Hardyville. So those are kind of like, you know, not hometown, but kind of in my backyard kind of thing. So it can break somebody. If you don't have your mental game together, it'll break you. And I think DeMarcus has got his mind right. I know his skills are where they need to be. So I think it'll be very successful. You just got to keep pushing hard. You know, you got to walk in that cage and have that mindset on, you know, this is live or die. And it'll be just fine.
No, I agree completely. And I think the point is made that it's a rare occurrence. You know, out of 14 fights, you've fought for your
very
hometown
rare
crowd, you know, a single time. So, you know, I'm sure on DeMarcus's end, you know, there's got to be a lot of, I mean, just to put it in short terms, there's got to be a lot of awesome badassness about being able to go out there and really represent. I mean, represent to the fullest. You actually can't, in the MMA sense here, represent any harder for the hometown than what you're about to do, man. And that's got to feel pretty awesome.
Yes, sir, indeed. Don't get me wrong. I'm very excited to fight in front of everybody and put on a show for everybody and let everybody see, you know, what I'm excited about in myself, you know. But the goal is for me to go in there and fight and put on the show. So my mind, I can't get focused on everybody else. I got to focus on myself.
No, I would agree 100%.
Really
That's the best way to look at it, man. I think everyone who goes in with that mindset and focus on the self is doing themselves a great service. And I've actually watched, being a part of the media side, the outside of the cage aspect of MMA for quite a number of years now, I've actually kind of seen that mindset of become obsessed with your next enemy, you know, become obsessed with their tape, their habits, basically stalk them until fight night. I think that's kind of started to die away to some extent, and people are starting to take a more, I don't want to say unitarian, but almost approach to it, in that focusing on the self and understanding that if they're in the best prepared that they can be, then their opponent becomes less and less of a situation altogether. And I'd ask for your comments on that, DeMarcus.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, I would say, like, that the fight y'all were talking about last time with the girl that was in the UFC, I just think that she was so focused on that the girl had a good stand-up and game, that she was so focused on, I got to get this takedown, I got to get this takedown, that when she didn't get the takedown, she just folded. You know, so you have to be prepared for, you have to be prepared for anything. You know, if you're prepared for anything, then there's no way you can lose.
That well said, man. You got to be prepared for anything, and I agree. That's the awesome example and a recent one, and I couldn't agree more. You know, you're so set on that game plan that when it doesn't come to you, all you can do at best is continue to chase it with hope, as opposed to having knowing yourself enough to know the many roads to victory, which I think is one of the most important things as a fighter. If you do not know, if you do not have a map of your own skill set, then how are you going to get anywhere? You know. That's it, man. Hey, listen, we are counting it down to the last couple of minutes. I first off, before we flip it to the end, we always like to give a moment for anybody on our show. We really appreciate the time. We know you guys are always busy. We always talk to fighters, of course, as we're coming up to the fights. So I know you guys are always training and getting it in and cutting weight and all this kind of stuff. So big thanks from us. And we also, any sponsors, friends, family, anybody getting you ready for this fight, hype for this fight, excited, some new awesome PlayStation 4 game you're playing, whatever it is and you got on your mind, we'd love to hear about it, man.
Are you asking me?
Definitely.
I would definitely like to thank, you know, my family members and my team, the Billo. Without them, you know, wouldn't none of this be possible at all. You know, of course, my sponsors, you know, everybody know who they are. Jason Garcia, Concrete, Air One, Heating and Air, Victory Lane, Auto Sales, Executive League. And my wife, of course. You know, without my wife, I wouldn't be able to spend all the time and the things that I do.
Awesome, fantastic. I always add that to the end of everything I say, too. It is the safest way to stay alive.
right on.
Oh, man. For all you guys out there listening, man, to this good old Renegade Radio number 88, War of the Words, I just want to also let you know, Kobe Wall and myself, man, as we get closer to this card, we will be giving away some sweet, sweet gear from Duo Machi and USA Eagle. If you guys don't know either of them, check them out. Duo Machi, of course, sponsor of Conflict Champ Alexa Connors. You've probably seen it. If you don't know this, you have. So we are going to be giving away some awesome gear, some shirts, all kinds of cool stuff, man. So you guys make sure to keep tuning in with us as we not just because we're awesome as hell and we have great interviews with amazing fighters, but now there's actually a little bit of something for you in here. So I'm very excited about that and want to put that out there, as well as thank the rest of our sponsors, Solomon Cleaning Service, Tires for Hire, Rehydrate, as Kobe knows, Jason Rowland. Just the whole team, man. Like DeMarcus said, man, you guys know exactly who you are. So a big shout out once again from War of the Words. As far as this fight, man, I can't wait to see, and I couldn't think of a better way to really kick off the interviews than getting together with you in the main event. Of course, we're going to have Riles on later this week, so you guys, you know, out there listening, make sure to keep up with that. But today we are here, DeMarcus Holmes, man, marching in this pro debut. Great storied career so far on the Emmy side. You guys make sure to check that out because we are going to blow the roof off of Macon with this good stuff, man. And I'm going to, one last word from home. I got to ask, man, April 4th, if you could leave one impression on these fans as they leave that night, what do you want that to be?
I want them to remember the name, Air Home. Air Time.
There it is. You, bam, I like it. Can't get no better than that. Kobe, as always, man, I appreciate you taking your time out to co-host this crazy show as we always do. Once again, you're the man. I told you that we had a show about 3 minutes before we did it, as I always do. So you know I got mad love for you, home.
I made this one up.
Yeah, you did. You did good, man. It's a test. Every day I just test how much you're paying attention by not telling you when the show is until just before we do it. I think DeMarcus was online before you were, actually. That's how gangster we did it today. So it's a great show. DeMarcus, I want to thank you so much.
Yes,
also,
thanks,
send out my
thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, man, and we definitely want to send out our condolences to your family on this journey that you're having today, and we look forward to not only seeing you on fight night, but seeing you perform and getting a chance to meet in person. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you. I'm always willing to do it again, man. Give me a call. I'll be down.
Oh, trust me, man. If you know anything about Kobe and I, we never interview anybody just one time.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, man. On behalf of Kobe Wall and DeMarcus Holmes, man, it's been a great show, number 88. Stick around, number 89 coming to you later this week, probably day after tomorrow. We've got some great interviews and articles coming out today about Conflict 26, Joseph Career, as well as the actual card lineup. So stay tuned. If you're not already with your face on Facebook, go put it there because we're about to drop some hotness. War of the Words number 88. We are out of here.